Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top is standing by. Will, you guys put up a piece, and I think it was very appropriately titled, "What Does Tennessee's Best Basketball Look Like?" I've read the article. I'm still not sure if we've seen Tennessee's best basketball yet. Have we?
Well, definitely not with this collection of players. I think the longer the year goes on, that Washington win could look really good for Tennessee, but even if we're able to have bubble conversations later, those games you won with Lamonte Turner are just not going to count for as much. I think that's in part why the Georgia performance was so disappointing, because when you got two new guys in the mix now, you get a chance to kind of build a brand new resume off of what Tennessee could do the second half of the season. And the first look we got there with Vescovi and Plavsic playing together was obviously not very good. So, I mean, what we talked about in that article, Tennessee's best basketball right now, the rest of the season, is always going to be about defense first. They're going to have to defend at a very high level, which we've seen them do with and without Lamonte. But that's obviously where it's going to have to start. A lot of the other stuff is not necessarily what we would have picked. I think if you're trying to find ways for this offense to break out of its shell a little bit, they need to get Josiah James more looks from three. He's really now the only consistently good three-point shooter on this team. Mm-hmm. Eve Pond's numbers have come way down since the start of the year. Bowden, as everybody knows, really in a funk. So some of it is getting more looks for the freshman from three. Tennessee gets really high percentage stuff when they get a good touch to John Fulkerson. But, I mean, you could hear Barnes in some of the post-game soundbites there really being frustrated that either he's not posting up and demanding the ball, or he's just not shooting it. Fulkerson had two shots against Georgia, even though statistically he's one of the highest percentage scorers inside the arc in all of college basketball. So that's something to watch to me. Plavsic got, I think, six shots in 17 minutes. He was not afraid to put it up, even though he clearly was trying to get a feel for things out there. So we'll see if that changes. But this is a team that just needs good shots. I think right now, if you're Tennessee, you can live with missing open threes. You can live with missing open shots. There may not be a lot of great shooters, but they just got to get better looks instead of, you know, getting to the end of the shot clock and trying to figure out who's going to put it up this time.
Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top joining us now. You also pointed out in your article, Will, that ball movement is a key for this team. Are they getting the ball to John Fulkerson enough, or do you think he's just not being aggressive when he does get past the ball?
I think it's a little bit of both. It depends on who they play. Like, Wisconsin did a great job denying all of that stuff for Tennessee inside. And obviously you got no Lamonte, no Vescovi in that game, so that's some of it. You know, that statistic, assist rate, so Tennessee's still fourth in the country at assist rate, meaning they get something like two-thirds of their baskets come with an assist. So it can be a really good statistic. Tennessee was excellent at this stat the last 2 years, but it can't just come by itself. What it means for this year's team is Tennessee really doesn't have anybody that can create their own shot. If the ball is going in for Tennessee far more often than not, literally twice as often as not, it's because they got good ball movement and they got a good shot, whether they got a quality touch in the paint for Fulkerson or Vescovi's been able to create some penetration and then kicking out to guys for three. This is something Lamonte, when he was in the lineup, I know there was a lot of angst about the shoulder and the shooting and that sort of stuff, but Lamonte Turner was really good at creating open looks for other players, even without Grant Williams and Schofield and those guys out there. So there's just not, there doesn't seem to be anybody on this team that's going to create their own shot. We'll see what a 7-footer can do. We give him a couple more games here to get acclimated. But Tennessee, again, their whole offense has got to be built around really good ball movement. It's there. They've got players that can create that. They've got guys like Fulkerson and Josiah that are better, I think, at doing individual things than sometimes we give them credit for. But there just isn't anybody on the roster. Hopefully this is coming next year, but there's not anybody on the roster right now that can create their own shot. So yeah, if it's going in for Tennessee, if it's going to be a good look, it's going to have to come through continued good ball movement right now.
Will, you know, talking about John Fulkerson not stepping up and commanding that role, Rick Barnes mentioned that post game the other day. And another thing this team's not doing very well is it's very effective at the free throw line, fourth in the league in terms of made free throw percentage, but 12th in the league in free throw attempts on the season. Lamonte Turner still leading the team. He ain't playing the last four or five games at 59 attempts on the season. I feel like Tennessee needs to get to the line and create that opportunity for itself to score some points on the game in and game out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only reason they beat South Carolina is because they got to the line 28 times and they made 22 of them. So that's a good example, too, where you can see if you defend well and you play hard on that end and you do all that, even if you get looks that aren't going down and you're playing another good defensive team like South Carolina, and there's plenty of other good defensive teams in this league, if all that stuff is not happening for you offensively, can this team still get to the line? If they can, they may not beat Kentucky and Auburn that way, but they're going to have a chance to be there against other teams if the defense is also there on that end of the floor. So, yeah, I think you just can't have Fulkerson play. He can't take two shots in 22 minutes. Someone else is going to have to play and put the ball up if that's the case. You've got guys, I'm sure, that are struggling with a lot of different confidence issues. Jordan Bowden, all throughout his career, is a terrific free throw shooter, and he did get more production inside the arc in the Georgia game. It just didn't matter a whole lot. But for him, you know, is there more opportunities or something else they can draw up for him instead of trying to get him going from three, get him going to the rim? He's certainly athletic enough, all that stuff. And again, we'll see. We'll see what having a seven-footer more regularly in the lineup, how that might change some defensive rotations and assignments and things like that. But part of the reason they're so good defensively is because they block so many shots. Pons, Fulkerson as well. Josiah's a bigger guy. They've got the size to be aggressive at the rim on the other end of the floor. They're already doing that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of this answer is just get inside, get better penetration with Vescovi, get Plavsic going, get to the free throw line, because you know statistically you're much, much more likely to put up points there than having it come from shooters on this team or, like we said, guys that just can't create their own shot.
Yeah, when Lamonte Turner was struggling with his shot so much, he still was super effective at the free throw line. He would make it a point to get there, and that's where he got his points to often lead this team in scoring. Jordan Bowden, very good, 82% on the year. You would think that he'd make more of an emphasis to get to the free throw line. Will, I want to ask you about a local kid and, of course, a freshman, Drew Pember. All the talk is about Vescovi, about Uros now, Josiah, James. But how have you liked the progression of Drew Pember, a guy that's not afraid to take a shot?
Yeah, and afraid to go to the rim too. You know, that's kind of that mindset. When I see Pember come in the game, there's kind of a part of me that thinks sometimes that maybe Barnes believes these guys aren't being aggressive enough, because Pember, I mean, kudos to him. He'll go to the rim. He's not afraid to try to dunk on people, even though, I mean, he's a freshman. He needs the weight room. He needs to work on his strength and all that stuff. But yeah, even if sometimes it comes with a little recklessness, he gives them, I think, some additional aggression that's out there. And again, he plays maybe with some of that irrational confidence that sometimes you like from yeah. True freshmen. You know, we saw John Fulkerson, it's been a while now since he was a true freshman, but that early second-year Rick Barnes team, he was a guy that was giving you a lot of energy, not always going to make the right play, might do some dumb stuff. But I think if you're going to play Vescovi anyway, which clearly they are, you're kind of loosening the reins a little bit on tight ball security and getting everything just perfect to a T anyway. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see. I mean, Pember is one of those guys. Devontae Gaines is another one of these guys where you're trying to figure out, okay, what's his role on the team next year? If you get everything you want from all of these freshmen coming in, I mean, some of these guys are just almost certainly looking at a red shirt next season, because I don't think Barnes is going to play like an 11-man rotation. So it's an opportunity the rest of this year for these guys to carve out a role, make a name for themselves, that sort of thing. So I'll be curious to see. I think everybody's curious to see if they're going to give Uros, you know, more than 17 minutes a game, where are those minutes coming from? Again, Fulkerson only played 22 the other night, but there's a lot of good that he has already done. Is Pember going to get more or less of an opportunity? Are they going to have other guys that have been trying to bang in there in the post that now can slide over and play the foursome? So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but that's still – when I see Pember check into the game, my initial kind of gut reaction is, all right, Tennessee's going to get a little more aggressive, at least a little bit here with him on the floor.
Talking to Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top. You can find his work at GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, the best thing, though, about this crazy season of basketball is everybody can lose on any given day, so I don't think Tennessee should be intimidated wherever they go, but they also have to be on alert that anybody can also beat them. Where do you see Tennessee right now in the upper half of the SEC? Are they right about middle? Just what are kind of your thoughts, big picture, for Tennessee's record this year in league play?
I think probably somewhere between those two points. I don't think Tennessee is going to be a team that gets a double bye in the SEC tournament, so not a top four team. But that group, that 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, I think that's all going to be really close. It may be really close top to bottom. LSU gets a huge scheduling break because LSU only plays Kentucky and Auburn once each, and LSU's already 4-0. So for all the ways folks may have kind of written them off when they lost to ETSU and other things earlier, LSU, especially after we watch Auburn get beat down by 19 points at Alabama, you might call LSU like the statistical favorite to win this thing right now, even though I don't think they're the best team in the SEC. So you got LSU, they can put up a big number, Kentucky, Auburn. And then there, you know, there's a lot of teams. What's going on with Florida? Why aren't they better? What's going on with South Carolina, who struggles mightily to score 55 in Knoxville and then puts up 80 plus against Kentucky? I mean, there's just a lot of that kind of weirdness that's around in the league. And even if Auburn gets hot again, or Kentucky matures the way Calipari wants his teams to mature, or it's LSU, you may have a league champion at 13-5 or 14-4. But I just think there's going to be a lot of traffic between 12-6 and 10-8. Ken Pomeroy projects Tennessee to be 9-9, which that's a frustrating, you know, you win one, you lose one. You win one, you lose one. And that may be what we're in for with this team the rest of the year. But, yeah, I still think that they can get to that 5, 6, 7, 8 in the league. The biggest thing they're going to do is what do they do in close games? Because Tennessee teams of the past that have had this kind of makeup, this kind of struggle to score the basketball, rarely do they get into the NCAA tournament, but some of them also miss the NIT. So, I mean, that difference between finishing the regular season 18-13 and 10-8 in the league and, you know, finishing 16-15 and 8-10, I mean, there's not much difference between those two records and Tennessee's overall play. A lot of it, I do think, is going to come down to, are they going to be able to do what they did against South Carolina and pull out close games in the end?
Will, what's coming up for everybody this weekend on game day on RockyTop.com?
All the fun stuff we've been talking about here, just, again, trying to figure out when a team is struggling this much on offense, where are the bright spots? What are the things that they can get better at? An individual statistical preview that Joel Hollingsworth wrote for Vanderbilt. It's a great time for Tennessee to go to Vanderbilt. Weird things can happen at Nashville. We've seen that plenty of times, saw it last year. But if you want to play a team right now in the SEC, you want to play Vanderbilt. So that, hopefully that's a good thing for Tennessee tomorrow. So we will keep tracking all the statistical analysis for all these previews. And again, as long as they are not completely eliminating themselves from any bubble conversation, we'll keep tracking that too and kind of seeing, can this team, as they get better, keep winning close games and keep giving themselves a chance to at least hope for some kind of postseason fate.
All right. Thanks so much, Will, for joining us. We'll definitely be reading online at GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Have a great weekend, and we'll see what we're talking about, a Tennessee win or hopefully not a Vanderbilt win after Saturday's game.
All right. Appreciate it, y'all. All right.